I want to greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. It's good to be together here this morning. Appreciated the discussion and the inspiration in my life as I was here and sat under the teaching of the scriptures and were reminded again of the important things of life. And I trust this morning as we continue in that we will continue to look at God and His provision for us. Brother Clayton mentioned there, he read the verses about how the foundation had been laid for the temple. And it caused great joy in God's people. And this morning, I want to talk about our foundation, It's probably a very simple message this morning, but it's one that I felt led to share with you. The songwriter says, "To tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past. How for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me." I believe that in church life, it's necessary to preach about forgiveness. It's necessary to preach about doctrines. And it's necessary to preach about practical things. But I had to think, I'd wondered already, do we pull off the salvation message off the shelf in October and November, when revival meetings are here, and we focus on it then, but we kind of leave it the rest of the time? And this morning, I want to talk about it this morning, and I want to present to you the story of Jesus. And I believe that it affects those of us that have been Christians. It affects me and my attitudes of life if it's refreshed. Would there be less tears shed because of stresses in our life if we were kept nearer to the cross? I think of that song in the third stanza, "Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me." And so I trust as we this morning look at the shadow of the cross, and we look at the cross, that it will help us. I believe that our problems come into perspective at the foot of the cross. It doesn't matter if I have been a Christian for 20 years or for 50 years. That when the story of Jesus is told, and those truths are revealed again, and they are on our hearts again, that our life comes into perspective. Our attitudes towards others, and what we pursue in life, and what we think is important in life. It comes into perspective. And so easily we forget as we walk out of church, and as we leave those experiences behind, how Satan brings into our life again the allurements of the world. And I trust this morning as we look at this that we may remain under the shadow of the cross. I'd like to think just for a little bit here at the beginning at Luke chapter 18. In verse 18, and I think this rich young ruler, as he came to Jesus, reflects us in a lot of ways. As conservative Mennonite people, we have been sheltered from a lot of the gross sins of the world, and I thank God for that. There is no need to be in the depths of sin. Luke chapter 18 and verse 18 says, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All of these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." We'll stop reading there. But this man was a ruler in Israel, and probably knew the law very well. And he knew what was morally upright and what was wrong. The ceremonies that went with the people of God. He knew how to do those things. And when Jesus told him the commandments, he said there that I've done those things since I was a youth. But it seemed like in this man's heart there was still a void. There was still something missing. He knew that in his heart there was still something that was not right with God. And he was crying out to Jesus to find out what that was. And Jesus touched an area of his life where it really did matter to him. And that's often the way it is with us. Our selfish, ourselves. The sin problem that I have needs to be taken care of. And I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 10 now. I wanted to just look at that passage as an introduction that there is a void in our life. Even though we are trained in a Christian home, a godly people, we thank God for that, and it gives us a great advantage to serve God. But we still must recognize that we are sinners before God. John chapter 10, start reading in verse 1. Jesus speaking, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And we'll stop reading there. But especially in verse 9 is where I take the title for the message. Jesus says that I am the door. And this morning just would like to look at Jesus is the door. He says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." There are promises to those that that enter through that door. A few thoughts on doors. We know what doors are. We use them every day. But a door is the way we access a building. We came through the door into this building this morning. A door is security for those within. Physically, we find security in closed locked doors at times. Probably at night, you lock your house door. So spiritually, we find security in knowing that the door is manned by the highest security possible in the fold. Here, Jesus said that He is the door. And often, as we think of doors, buildings today have more than one access door into them. This building has multiple doors you can get into the building. But into the kingdom of God, there is only one door. It's only one way to get into the kingdom of God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the door." A door is often a narrow point by which we must enter. They're not very big often. Have you ever tried to carry too much with you through a door? I've tried that already. It doesn't work very well. In this door into the fold, there's only room for yourself and Jesus. You have to lay down all of your belongings, all of your possessions, all of your desires, your righteousness to come through this door. And this door, there are doors that are made to maybe receive two people at a time. Most doors are for one at a time. But the access into God's kingdom, there's only room for you and Jesus in this door. You cannot go through this door being carried by your parents or your friends or your family or your church. You cannot have them carry you through this door. It's a personal choice that you yourself must make to go through this door. Doors can be and will be locked. This door into the kingdom of God is unlocked this morning. It is standing ajar, as the songwriter says. That gate ajar stands free for all who seek through it salvation, the rich and poor, the great and small, of every tribe and nation. The door of mercy is still open this morning, but someday we know the door will shut. The door will shut and it will be no longer open. But today we have the opportunity to go through that door with Jesus. A few interesting thoughts about doors in Bible times. Notice there was only one door in the ark. The type of salvation the ark was, but there was only one door that accessed the ark. Another interesting thing of that is that it is God who shut that door. It says God shut the door. There was only one door into the Holy of Holies. And that door was guarded very carefully. There's only one door into the fold, as we looked at also this morning. I'd like to look at four things that how Jesus is the door. First one is Jesus is the door to salvation. Excuse me. Notice in verse 9 it says that by me, if any man enter in, or if you go through that door, it says that he shall be saved. So Jesus is the door of salvation. If you turn to back to the book of Luke chapter 2, as we think of those that when Christ came, Luke chapter 2, verse 25 and verse 30, their testimony of Christ when he came to this earth, I had to think about this. It comes to me now as Clayton read about the old men that saw the foundation of the temple. Here was an old man that saw the foundation of salvation. Verse 25 of Luke 2, And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And down in verse 30, this is what he says. As he took Jesus up in his arm, and he blessed God and said, verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Jesus is the door to salvation. And then in Acts chapter 4, verse 10. This was when Peter was preaching to the children of Israel. Verse 10, Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then Romans 1:16, Paul says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then 2 Timothy 3:15, And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So these verses bring out very clearly that Jesus is the door to salvation. There's only one way that we can enter, that we can be right with God, and that is to by Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he has made. Repenting of our sins and accepting the provision that he has given us. And I think as each God has planted in each one of us a desire to be within the fold, to be in the security of God's will, I think we desire that. I don't know of anyone that said they don't want to be there. But the way there, our flesh recoils at, because it requires giving up the desires of our flesh. Number two, another way that Jesus is the door, he is the door to freedom. In verse 9 of John 10, our text verse there, it says that simply that if you enter in that door, then you will go in and out. There's freedom. We are people that want freedom. We do not like bondage. But at times, I believe we have maybe distorted concepts of what freedom is and what bondage is. The freedom that Jesus brings is freedom to come to God with a clear heart and conscience. It's not a freedom that we can do anything that the flesh desires. When the slaves were freed, it wasn't so they could do as they wished to do. It was so that they were released from shackles of bondage and live lives within the parameters of acceptable behavior on their own. There were still boundaries in their life. And this morning, to go in and out in freedom that Jesus provides means to go through life being directed of him and at peace with him. 2 Peter 2:19 says, For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. If we are overcome by sin in our lives, we are in bondage. Freedom from sin into the liberty of Christ. Psalm 119, verse 45 says, And I will walk in liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Following God's precepts brings liberty. It brings freedom, not bondage. Jesus, when he was on this earth in his earthly ministry, he went to the temple one day and he opened the scriptures. And he read out of Isaiah, and he said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Healing the brokenhearted, delivering the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and setting at liberty them that are bruised. Galatians 5 says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So this freedom in Christ is to be able to live our life in a way that God directs us, because without his power we cannot do that. Jesus is the door to satisfaction, another one. It says there in our text verse that if we go through that door, we will go in and out, and it says that we will find pasture. We will find satisfaction. Even as sheep go out and they find pasture, they find their nourishment, and they find what really brings contentment in life. So we can, as Christians. And maybe this morning you're here pursuing happiness and satisfaction in what we can get out of life, what I can get out of life. And there are many things that people try to find satisfaction and happiness in, but it only lasts the weekend or a short time. As we think of our flesh, satisfying the desires of our flesh. Maybe it's your thoughts. Thoughts that are turned loose to the vice of imagination. Thoughts that maybe you think nobody will know where I go with my thoughts. Thoughts that are like cancer that defile from the inside out. Maybe it's the books you read, and you feel really good when you read a romance novel or an exciting Western story with a lot of drama. Maybe it's your music that you feel good when it's playing. It brings happiness. It lifts me up. But when the thoughts come, when life is quiet, there's turmoil in your life. And maybe it's a besetting sin, one that you have tried to overcome, and yet you fall again and again. You've not opened your life to anybody to help through that. You find pleasure in that sin, but later you hate yourself because of it. And this morning, the door is too narrow for you to take any of these things into the fold. With Jesus standing at the door, do you really think that we can fool him into taking those things in? Where this morning do you find satisfaction? Is it in the pasture, in God's word, feeding upon it and fellowshipping with his people? Or is it on the questionable things of life and on the worldly things that only bring happiness for a time? Psalmist said this, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness." As he saw God, and then notice what he says, "I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." There was a burning desire within the psalmist's heart that he would be like God. The likeness of God would come on him, and he would be satisfied when he attained that. The psalmist also says that, "For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." And we think of the Beatitudes. There's satisfaction there that Jesus talked about. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will find that pasture. You will be filled. John 4, verse 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." This morning, the question is, are you satisfied? Am I satisfied with what God has for me and for my life? Am I partaking of what He wants in my life? Another way that Jesus is the door is He is the door to eternal life. You turn to the book of John, chapter 14. I'm sorry, John chapter 3, verse 14. John chapter 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Here we see very clearly that Jesus is the door to eternal life. He is the access wherein we can be eternally connected with God. Simon Peter testified that Jesus is the door to eternal life. When his disciples left him, some of the disciples left him, Jesus asked those he had chosen, he said, "Will you also go away?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Are we recognizing that Jesus is the door to eternal life? John 10:28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." There is no other way that we can obtain eternal life without going through Jesus. Jesus is the door to eternal life. Have I entered that door? Have you? Are you in the fold? Are you still waiting out undecided if you should take that step? And this morning I want to assure you that Jesus is inviting you. The door is ajar, and through the door you can see the cross where Christ gave His life for us. I'd like to read Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to the verse 13. Here gives an outline of how we can enter through the door that Jesus has provided. Romans 10, verse 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Stop reading there. We have the outline of repentance and confessing of Jesus, and it says, "Thou shalt be saved." There is no question. Jesus says that if you enter through the door, thou shalt be saved. And this re-echoes that if we confess, if we repent of our sin and confess Jesus Christ and believe in our heart, it says, "Thou shalt be saved." Have we entered through the door? Have we rejected that offer to us to go through that door? I would like to, I know we don't do this very often, but I would like to just sing a couple verses of invitation. And if you are here this morning and you desire to go through that door, I give you an opportunity to do that by standing to your feet. Maybe you've went through that door and you find yourself on the outside again because of choices you've made. The door stands ajar because of Christ's mercy is still open to us. I'd like to Christian hymnal number 245.